Hello. So it's been a while and I missed you, and I've been wondering, did you miss me? Okay, jokes aside, I've been working on my method of teaching English to dyslexic ESL learners in Polish and English language pair, because L1 matters. L1 is increasingly important. But I'm here and today's topic is pretty juicy, I should say. And we'll be talking about reading, dyslexia, and ESL and EFL classrooms. So I will combine them together because ESL is a second language, EFL is a foreign language, but I think they are complementary. And this podcast episode was inspired by my vacation in Poland because I spent 2 months working with teachers, preparing my research, finding the research sites and whatnot. And I also have been digging in the books. So I've read tons of textbooks and I was particularly interested in reading. In grades 1-3. So unfortunately, with a heavy heart, I must say that I was quite disappointed. And the reason being, when I was looking at the book and I was trying to see how they teach reading and how they weave it in, you know, that instruction, I realized it was quite messy. Quite often it didn't make a lot of sense and it wasn't sequential or explicit. So today I'll be talking about reading and why reading matters and why reading has to be sequential, why reading has to be explicit, and why not all that glitters is gold. And of course I'm referencing myself or that phrase to the ELT industry and publishing. So, without naming anyone, because it's not the point, we'll talk about reading. So when we think about reading, we think about L1, right? The literacy development, how we learn to read, as we know, and I have been talking about it for such a long time, we know that reading is evolutionary new to us. So is writing. By the way, I recommend you a fantastic book on the print development. I will link the title in the show notes because it is amazing. And unfortunately, we often forget that reading in L2 is important and it has to be taught. So let's imagine you want to start teaching reading to your students who are ESOL, ELL, ESL or EFL. Some of them will be dyslexic, some of them will not. But right now, I will focus on the whole population because even students who are not dyslexic, they need the explicit instruction and they need the mapping. I say it's like you're catching stars. So you're catching the star, which is the sound, and you converse it to print. So when we are talking about reading, we know that the key components are phonemic awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, comprehension. And we know that teaching reading in English is not just phonics because we have morphology, etymology, etc. And your students, your ESL students, they have to understand those components, right? If they are dyslexic, they will have problems with phonological processing. But even if not, think about that. I'm working with students, children, adults, teenagers, and I often have students who have been learning English for quite a while. And they can speak, they're quite vocal, they have good background knowledge, but they can't read. And when I say they can't read, does not mean that they cannot read a passage. It means that they cannot figure out what a multisyllabic word is. So they try to use language transfer from the L1 or other languages that they have been learning. They try to figure it out. Sometimes they try to guess, and I don't blame them. And while I've been wondering, why is that? Why they can't literally just read the word insignificant or the word comfortable? Some students have the tendency to say able, and it dawned on me that the reason being is that they haven't been taught to read. So it was assumed that because they were literate in L1, the L2, the reading in L2 will somehow show up. And as we know, English orthography is deep. In English, we do not have an organization, let's say, or the body, right, of scientists, linguists who say, okay, this is the change, and that is why we do this and that. We know that English has lots of words from Greek, from Latin. Some of words have been even made up a little bit, like the word island. We know we had inland, and then somewhere around 16th century, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the monks would ask, because why not? It looks so cool. Maybe not even cool, but it looks so sophisticated. So the students do not know how to read because they haven't been taught. The added obstacle is that in ESL or EFL, we have 4 integrated skills and we have to integrate them in the process. So in L1, the child or a pre-literate person is being taught to read. We are being explicit, we do it from step 1 to step 2. In ESL, EFL, ESO, or ELL, however, it's different because we have reading, listening, speaking, and writing. It is important because we have to teach those skills together because one reinforces the other. For example, listening builds vocabulary, which in turn improves reading comprehension, background knowledge. Speaking helps reinforce phonics. We have those minimal pairs, right? Because students are practicing the sounds they see in print. And writing helps with memory retention, understanding word structure, syntax, and so on and so forth. So the beautiful example is a phoneme grapheme mapping, where students connect the sounds they hear, phonemes, to the letters they see, graphemes. It integrates listening, speaking, and reading all at once. So when teaching reading to students who are ELL, ESL, ESO, or EFL students, I would just say language learners because it's quicker. So it's important to bear in mind that we have to reinforce one skill using the other, and we cannot forget about those integrated skills. So I've covered the importance of integrated skills. Now let's talk about effective teaching for dyslexic ESL learners, but not only. I would say effective teaching for all language learners. Of course, the instruction has to be sequential and explicit. Sequential means it's in logical order. So we start with phonemic awareness, teaching them to hear manipulate sounds before moving on to more complex things like fluency or comprehension. You cannot skip those steps. I will give you an analogy. When we are teaching our children math, we teach them to count. We teach them to add, subtract, right? Then multiply, divide, and so on and so forth. You cannot skip one skill, and you have to automate it. And why I'm talking about automation is that I've had a discussion. I know I'll be segueing a little bit because I haven't recorded a podcast episode in a while. And there's so much I want to tell you. So I have been talking to a student of mine and she said, you know, it's so easy. When I look at you, it's so easy. You just look at that sentence and you know. And I told her, but you know that I have been doing it for ages. That when I was a kid, I did a ton of exercises. The automaticity is there. I didn't wake up one day saying, oh, I know everything. First of all, I do not know everything. However, I accumulated the body of knowledge. I have been working for almost 25 years and I have been studying and learning for, my goodness, my entire life. So this is the automation, and I wanted to make it crystal clear. Explicit teaching is the fundamental, but you also have to automate it because your students will not learn by osmosis. You can't assume they learn by osmosis. You can't assume they just pick up a concept. You'll walk them through it step by step, explain, let's say 15 minutes, and that's it. So it takes time. And when we think, how can we apply those strategies in the ESL classroom? Think about that. You might start with a listening activity that introduces key vocabulary followed by speaking exercise when students are practicing not only pronunciation, but you're also showing them pronunciation and spelling patterns because they are integrated, right? And then you move on to the reading activity that the students apply what they have just learned. But the key is to make sure that every skill builds one another before and that each step is clearly explained. I cannot state it enough, the importance of direct and explicit instruction. I know that ESL and ELT industry is falls for every fad and a shiny object syndrome. However, without being explicit and direct, your student will not retain, and they need to retain and automate before they move on to another concept. Before I wrap it up, I want to leave you with a few practical tips for teaching reading to dyslexic and not only dyslexic ESL learners. First of all, focus on language transfer. Think about cognates. Dyslexic learners can use their first language to help them learn English. And please, 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 please do not tell me that, oh, do not use L1 because only L2 is important. You are robbing your students of so many skills. So look for similarities. Use them to build the confidence. Think about cognates. With Indo-European languages, we have words that come from Latin and Greek. Why not use it? Don't forget about explicit instruction and involving your students in the process. And assessment is a key. You want to continually assess your students. You want to make sure that they are making progress. And by saying it, I wanted to invite you to my challenge. It's called Take Them to the Moon, because I firmly believe that all students can make it. The challenge will be happening from 1st to 4th October. It will be in a Facebook group, so we'll have four lives. Life number four is very special to me because I'll be talking about data, reading data, how to discern the right from wrong. And yes, this challenge will lead to my paid course, but even if you just come and join me and learn with me, you will learn a lot. And this challenge happens twice a year, so the next challenge will take place in late February. However, next year, I'll be working on other projects, I'll be wrapping up my research, and then I will have less time, which means this is the time to join, because you've got nothing to lose. That's A, and it's me motivating you. And I know that motivation comes from hard work. Second of all, if you start now, think about where you will be in those 6 months, right? Think about the journey that you will have started or you will have finished by the end of February, March. So I'm inviting you to join the challenge. I have prizes, I have surprises, so see you in Take Them to the Moon challenge, and talk to you in the next episode. Bye.